Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London.
It's one of the benefits of living right next door to a national park here in the middle of Cape Town. Literally on our doorstep, John Adley, that we get to talk about wildfires and mountain fires literally kilometers from where we're sitting at the moment. I hope you're well.
I am indeed, and no sign of any wildfires or any danger approaching, I'm pleased to say. I hope it doesn't get to you either.
That said, we'll go to Northern Ireland first, where the threat level there has been raised. There have been concerns, and this is based off a MI5 intelligence assessment, that of the rise of dissident Republican activity could result in what many would see as terrorist activity in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are always going to be pockets of Republicans who will never accept, the agreement that is now nearly 25 years old, you know, the Good Friday Agreement and the peace accord in Northern Ireland. They just seem to have stepped up their presence and their attacks recently, maybe with the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement in mind. And the attacks do seem to be centered at the moment on police and their families rather than members of the public. And I think this is one of the reasons why the British government, as you say, has raised the terrorism threat level in Northern Ireland from substantial to severe. And what that means is an attack is considered highly likely, and it is based on MI5 intelligence assessment, as you say. I mean, I think most notably for people was that nasty gun attack last month on an off-duty policeman who was shot and seriously wounded in Omagh by suspected Republican paramilitaries. The Northern Ireland Secretary, Chris Heaton-Harris, says a small number of people remain determined to carry out politically motivated violence, and he says people should remain vigilant but not be alarmed. And, of course, people in Northern Ireland are used to living in this way, although they would have hoped, you know, that things would be going in a more peaceful direction rather than things being accelerated. The Chief Constable of Northern Ireland, Simon Byrne, says the force will relentlessly pursue those who seek to cause harm and terrorise our communities. So the terror threat warning has been issued, the rise in that level, 2 weeks before a planned visit to Northern Ireland by President Biden. He's due to go there to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Peace Agreement. Of course, his predecessor, quite a few presidents back, Bill Clinton and others were involved, you know, at the time with that. And America got real affinity with the people of Northern Ireland. So you can just imagine it rattles the cages of dissident Republicans. They are going to make their presence felt. They are doing so. But there'll be a real hope that anniversary of something that I certainly remember covering 25 years ago, such a landmark moment, the Good Friday Agreement, that they are able to mark that and celebrate it and indeed have high profile visits like President Biden in just 2 weeks' time.
What has the outcome or the result of particularly Brexit had on that Good Friday Agreement? And has this rise in fears and anxieties have anything to do with the result of Brexit? Ireland, yeah. Republic of Ireland, different in its trade. Republic of Ireland is a member of a common union. The Northern Ireland, part of Britain, is in sort of this murky territory of not being and at the same time being within the European Common Union. And whether this has anything to do with this raised anxieties.
I think it's highly possible, actually. It is highly possible because it's been such a row over Brexit, and it all came to head really only in the last week that they have ratified this Brexit deal, the one that Theresa May wasn't able to do and David Cameron wasn't able to do, but Rishi Sunak has, and Boris Johnson couldn't do it, but Rishi Sunak has done it. But it hasn't got the agreement of unionists in Northern Ireland. So that's the mainstream the unionist parties, let alone dissident Republicans. They're worried. They don't like it. They say it singles Northern Ireland out, makes it even less part of the UK because it's being treated differently from the rest of the UK because of the murkiness, as you put it, having this shared border with Ireland, but not wanting to have the hard border between the north and the south. How do you get around that? Yeah, that's caused a lot of consternation amongst mainstream unionists. And I imagine that would fuel the fire as well amongst dissident Republicans who are prepared to take their anger further and turn it into violence. So yeah, I think Brexit does play a part in it.
The rules of the real gentleman's game, rugby, has been under the spotlight over the last while with proposals to changes of tackling laws. And it's all been brought into focus because of, in the UK, 200 former rugby players are making a multi-million pound game, claiming that after playing the game without particular precautions or warnings or safe rules, they've suffered severe brain injuries because of it.
Yeah, and we've just learned more about what happens on the pitch, haven't we, and about the effects, you know, of all that contact with the ball and contact with other people, especially in rugby, also football to a slightly lesser extent, maybe, heading the ball. And now, of course, that's led to people making a connection between their brain injuries and the competition, and saying that the blame lies with the rugby authorities, and that they should carry the can and that they should be made to pay. You might think it's a little bit David and Goliath, but actually when you've got more than 200 former rugby players, as you mentioned, making a joint claim, you know, then maybe they're going to make their presence felt. It is going to be a huge legal hurdle that they've got to overcome to prove that these governing bodies in the game, including World Rugby and the Welsh Rugby Union, to prove that they are to blame for their brain injuries and that they should pay for their care. But, you know, some of the former players have been speaking out about their condition. Former dual code professional Lenny Woodard, who's 46, one of many players who've been diagnosed with early onset dementia. That's one of the conditions that these rugby players are suffering. And he says it's not about greed, as some may say. He says it's not. It's about not wanting his partner and his children to have to pay for what could be decades of care. It's going to be a long uphill legal battle. World Rugby says it can't comment on the specific claims because of legal action, but it says we care deeply about every member of the rugby family and constantly strive to safeguard and support them.
And then finally, the deadline is set for zero emission cars in the EU. There's a date of 2035 on the ban of the sale of new petrol and diesel cars. That's in 2035. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's in a very short space of time. I'm looking through my paradigm here in South Africa. But in Norway, they've already decided that they want to ban that all new cars can only be sold with low emissions or no emissions by as early as 2025.
That's incredible, isn't it? To think just 2 years' time that we're not going to be driving petrol or diesel cars. It seems very ambitious. Even 2035 seems rather ambitious. Although, of course, it can be tactics, can't you, to set an ambitious deadline, knowing that it may take a bit longer. But it's right to have that ambition. Poland voted against the move. Italy, Bulgaria and Romania abstained. Germany particularly unhappy. They actually successfully argued for an exemption for cars using e-fuels, which are said to be carbon neutral. But there are problems with that because e-fuel's not readily available and it's more expensive. So, we'll see whether it can happen. You know, for us who've been so used to decades of driving petrol and diesel, the idea of there not being a choice by 2035, it's going to be mainly electric cars, seems a big deal. But of course, emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, are a huge deal as well. So perhaps we've just got to embrace it. Maybe we'll be made to. The EU climate policy chief, Frans Timmermans, says the direction of travel is clear. In 2035, new cars and vans must have zero emissions. So we've got to get used to the idea of electric cars. I just hope, Lester, there'll be enough charging points by then to keep us all on the road. We're not all stranded by the roadside with rundown batteries.
John Adley, looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow. Really appreciate your time here on Good Morning Cape Town.